Hello, Tom here. Great to be with you. Welcome, welcome back, welcome home. Let me say a big thank you for being part of the Life Together community. Before we jump in this week, I want to invite you to Messengers. It's a new podcast from us at Oak Creek Assembly of God. As a church family, we're thankful to partner with more than 130 missionaries and Christian workers serving all over the planet. Messengers is your chance to hear from them. Real stories, reports from people who bring the message of hope through Jesus Christ around the world. Find, subscribe to Messengers on iTunes, Spotify, Google Play, and Stitcher. Good evening and welcome to Life Together. We believe life is better together. A universal value, not just for Christians, but for all people, a universal value that we have as humans is loyalty. We all value loyalty. This can be in your marriage. You certainly value a loyal spouse. Parents who have adult children, you appreciate when your children are loyal and coming back home. Grandparents are certainly appreciative when grandchildren are loyal and come back and visit and invest time and just be there. If you are a leader of an organization, if you have a business, big or small, you probably would say that your business is mostly built on loyal customers, not necessarily the sporadic customers. As a church, Oak Creek Assembly of God is definitely, without a doubt, built on those who have been loyal members of this church family over the years. We also know that loyalty is truly revealed in moments of adversity, when times get tough. It's really easy to be loyal when things are flying high. It's really easy to be loyal to a sports team when they're undefeated. But go to see that team when they're below 500, when they've barely won a game all season, and I'll show you who the loyal fans are. And you have experienced this perhaps at some point in your life where you've gone through something that has been difficult, something that has been tragic, something that has been challenging, possibly something that you would say was embarrassing. And that's when you found out who truly was loyal to you, who were your true friends. I have a video that captures this idea of loyalty. It's about 60 seconds. Take a look.
Nice going, Spencer!
I can't believe we broke old man Hennessy's window.
Correction, dude. You broke. I just threw the ball.
This is really bad. What are we gonna do?
We? Go to the door, ask for the ball back.
Are you serious?
It's my ball, Myrtleback.
You're so dead.
I'd run away.
Yeah, to Uruguay.
Kiss your life goodbye. Sorry.
Let's go.
Dad.
Yeah, you're mean, you're well.
Nice boy. Some friends you are.
Keep smiling. Keep shining.
Hi. Tell him it was an accident. And we can fix the window. Come on. I'll come with you.
Loyalty. Pass it on.
You go first.
A message from the Foundation for a Better Life.
To be loyal is to stand with, to be constant, to be reliable, to be associated with consistently or constantly. Think about the opposite. The opposite of loyal might be sporadic. And I don't think I've ever heard someone in my life say, you know what I really desire in my life is more sporadic friends. People who dip in and dip out at will as it's convenient for them. Loyalty. We as people, all people, make big decisions and little decisions that are connected with our loyalty to Jesus Christ. Every person on the planet decides if they are going to be loyal to Jesus Christ. And the big decision surrounds that realization that our sin has separated us from our Heavenly Father. And there's nothing that we can do on our own to restore relationship with God. But God loves us so much that He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to live on this earth, 100% man, 100% God. And he went to the cross to pay the penalty for our sin. And when he did that, he gave us the possibility to be restored to our Heavenly Father when he defeated the grave. What does he ask for us in return? He asked for loyalty. He asked for us to acknowledge that our sin has separated us from our Heavenly Father and to receive Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. And the way that we demonstrate that we have received Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior is a life of loyalty to him. And then there are the little decisions that come up each and every day. And many of us would say that there's already been a point in our past, whether it was a week ago, a month ago, a year ago, 10 years ago, 50 years ago. We certainly have people in this church who have been loving Jesus for many decades. And so for those of us who have already made that choice, it's wrapped up in these daily decisions. Every encounter that we have an opportunity with our thoughts, our words, and our actions going to demonstrate a loyalty to Jesus Christ. Deuteronomy chapter 31, it says this, "Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified because of them, for the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you." At this moment in history, God's people are about to enter into the promised land. And what do we know about Moses? When they're at the edge, about to go in, he doesn't get to go in with them. And he tells them, you're going to face enemies when you get there. That's great, right? You're going to face enemies, but don't worry, I won't be there with you. He does say this, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified because of them, talking about the enemies you'll face. For your Lord God is, he goes with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Meaning he will never abandon you. If we were to describe a friendship that we truly value, these might be the words that we would use. I value a friend who will never leave me and never abandon me. And you'd say, you would value a friendship with someone who would never leave you nor forsake you. And if that's what our Heavenly Father is willing to do for us, the challenge for us to wrestle with tonight is, do we show the same thing to our Heavenly Father? Do we show the same thing to Jesus? Is there anything that can happen in our life that will cause us to leave or forsake or to abandon our relationship with Jesus? And some of us have seen this in our friends, and the answer is actually yes, that something has happened in their life that has caused them to abandon their walk with their Heavenly Father, with their Savior Jesus Christ, and with the Holy Spirit. When it comes to making the big decision about whether or not to be loyal to Jesus, there are certainly people on this planet, hundreds and thousands, possibly millions of people who would say that they're not loyal to Jesus. It's part of their identity that they are not loyal to Jesus because of they have no religion, no belief system. They have another belief system. And then we have a lot of people who are somewhere in the middle where they would say, I'm not really against Jesus, but the way that I live my life, it doesn't show that I'm loyal to him either. No matter where you fall on the spectrum, we're glad that you're here. We're thankful that you're here and willing to hear the word of God tonight. So if you took an invitation from a friend to be here, thank you for taking the invitation. You may not even believe in prayer, but we actually prayed for you to be here tonight. So you're an answer to our prayers, even though you don't believe in prayer. My desire for this community is that we would live our lives in a way that would demonstrate to others an unwavering loyalty to Jesus Christ. You and I, that we would live our lives in a way that shows unwavering loyalty to Jesus Christ, that we will not cut and run when times get tough. I want to show you tonight in the final hours leading up to the death of Jesus Christ that many people who were close to him wrestled with their loyalty to him. The question for those of us tonight, if you're saying tonight, I am all in for Jesus, is there a contingency surrounding your loyalty to Jesus? Is there a contingency? Do you know what that word contingency means? It's like if you might have a contract, there may be a contingency in your contract. if this happens, you can get out of the deal. If this comes out, the contract is no longer valid. It's a contingency. Contingency is a future event or circumstance which is possible but cannot be predicted with certainty. And so for those of us who are followers of Jesus, it might go something like this. I will follow Jesus as long as this. I will follow Jesus unless this happens. I will follow Jesus until there is a tragedy. I will follow Jesus except for those 6 days that I'm on spring break in Cancun. Is there an event or circumstance that could possibly happen that would cause us to abandon our faith? And for those of us who would quickly dismiss that and say, there's no possible way, what I want us to see tonight is that there was people who were as close to Jesus as you possibly could get, and yet they still were challenged during pressure points to stand with him and to show loyalty. It's good for each and every one of us to be in God's word every day. One of the best things that you can do for the people who are seated at the table with you is to have a personal prayer and Bible study devotion life. We, as a pastoral staff, use the plan at oneyearbibleonline.com. It's a great plan. My commitment to you this year is that each and every week, the teaching that we do on Wednesday night will come out of the readings on oneyearbibleonline.com in the days coming up to this week. So tonight's verses that we're going to look at are going to come out of the readings from Friday through Sunday, March 8th through the 10th. And if you have your Bible with you, if you have your sword, or you have it on an app, we're going to be in Mark chapter 14 and 15. Once again, to set this up, these are the final hours before the crucifixion, and these events are woven into the sequence that would lead to the moment in history that would change everything for all mankind, the death and resurrection of Jesus. After the Last Supper, Jesus is in the garden, and he wants the disciples to stay up with him to pray. Mark chapter 14, verse 41. He's been encouraging them to pray, and they keep falling asleep. Chapter 14, verse 41. And he, Jesus, came the third time and said to them, "Are you still sleeping and taking your rest? It is enough. The hour has come. The Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand." If you know this event from world history, you know that right after this, an entourage of religious elite, of soldiers come into the garden and they arrest Jesus and take him off for this mock of a trial. You may not have caught this before. At the end of this passage, as Jesus is about to be arrested, he says this, "Rise, let us be going." Does he say, "Rise, let me be going"? No. In that moment, he says, "Rise, let us be going." In that moment, in that tension point, when the arrest would happen, Jesus invites those who are closest with him to stand with him. There are moments when we will face pressure to abandon our loyalty to Jesus. This pressure may come because of a terrible medical diagnosis. And maybe you've seen this in a friend or someone you know, that they were walking with Jesus, but then there was a diagnosis and there were doubts and there were questions, and because of that, there was a walking away. It could be because for some reason or another, it gets too hard with other relationships. Your family is constantly berating your faith and mocking your faith. Your friend group, I wouldn't say they're much of friends, but say they're your friends, and they're constantly mocking you for your faith. Why are you always going to church on Sunday? Why would you do that, this, or the other thing. I don't get it. And so you may reach a point where it's just easier to walk away from it than to continue to deal with that. Sometimes it's something that's enticing. It might be wealth. It might be an opportunity for promotion. It might be something else that the nature of what that promotion is, what that career advancement is completely at odds with who Jesus is. And to take that is to turn your back on Jesus Christ. Jesus asked those closest to him to rise up and stand with him. And then we see this event in the garden where some of the disciples want to fight, and we see that Jesus didn't want them to fight. And at the end of that moment in the garden, verse 50, after Jesus says, "Rise, let us be going," this is what actually happened. Instead, they all left him and fled. They all left him and fled. Your translation might say something like, they scattered. Jesus said, "Rise, let us be going." Their reaction was they all left him and fled. Now, what did Jesus want them to do? Did Jesus want them to follow behind this arrest entourage in the city? Did he want them to submit to arrest as well? We know that he didn't want them to fight back. We don't know what they would have done if they had a do-over. What we do know, beyond a reasonable doubt, though, is that Jesus desired a loyalty. He desired a togetherness, and the reaction was a scattering. What happened to Peter, of all the disciples, they all scattered, but Peter is the one whose situation gets highlighted. And keep in mind that when Mark writes his account of the gospel, there are four accounts of the gospel: Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. That's the order that the gospel accounts are in our Bible. But in reality, the historians tell us that Mark was written chronologically first. Mark wrote his first, followed by the other three. And Mark, he was one who was there for some of the missionary journeys with Paul. Some say that there's this verse in Mark that would indicate that he was actually there in the garden during the arrest, so he witnessed the arrest. We don't know for sure. But something we do know for sure is that Mark, later in his life, had this mentor relationship with Peter. Mark's primary source, many will tell us, for his gospel was Peter. And so when we see the writing of Mark, when we see Mark recording these historical events, there's a very high likelihood that we are receiving this from the eyewitness account of Peter as dictated to Mark. Mark chapter 14, 72 says this about Peter: "And immediately the rooster crowed a second time, and Peter remembered how Jesus had said to him, 'Before the rooster crows twice, you will deny me three times.' And he broke down and wept." Remember back before the arrest? Jesus said that these events are about to happen, and Peter said, "No matter what, I will not abandon you. I will always stay by your side." And Jesus said, "Before this is all over, before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times." That's why I say to each of us who's a follower of Christ tonight, we might say it could never happen to us. And Peter is one who went on the record. He's on the record saying, "I will never abandon you, Jesus." And yet in this moment, the man who'd said he would be loyal to the death, denies a relationship with Jesus three times. And Peter's reaction when he realizes what he's done is that he breaks down and he weeps. And some of you may have experienced something like this, where you have acted in a way that is disloyal to someone who you said you would always be loyal to. And when you realize what you had done, when you realize the gravity of what had happened, you broke down and wept because you realized in that moment that in a few moments of time, you disrespected the loyalty that you said you would honor forever and forever. And some of us would say this is true of our relationship with our Heavenly Father. that there are moments in our life when we have acted in a way that does not demonstrate loyalty to our Heavenly Father, to Jesus Christ, to the Holy Spirit. And then after, there is this heavy weight upon our soul where we realize what we have done to the person who gave his life so that we could be saved. After Jesus has been sentenced to death, he's carrying his cross, his own method of execution, even though he committed no crime. Mark chapter 15, verse 21. Jesus is walking there with the Roman soldiers, and they compelled a passerby, Simon of Cyrene, who was coming in from the country, the father of Alexander and Rufus, to carry his cross. Simon is called off the sidelines on to the street to carry the cross of Jesus. This is not a volunteered act. When a Roman soldier told you to do something, it was usually in your best interest to obey. So Simon of Cyrene is called by the soldiers off the sidelines to carry the cross of Jesus. What we do know from this is that there are times when suddenly and unexpectedly you and I are thrust into action for Jesus under circumstance that we would not have picked if we could write the story ourselves. But we have a choice in that moment of whether or not we are going to be loyal to Jesus. And there's something that's so cool about this moment in history. Does anything just jump out at you right away about what they say about this man that is called from the sidelines and to carry the cross? There's a lot of detail about his life. Mark just doesn't write that a man was called from the side of the street to carry the cross. Mark tells us his name, Simon, tells us where he's from, Cyrene, and oh, by the way, he's a dad, and here are two of his sons' names. What does this tell us? That after this event, those who were in the community of followers of Christ got to know who Simon was, got to know him enough that they knew where he's from and they knew about his family. So the high possibility is that as a result of this event, from being called from the sideline to carry the cross, that Simon became a passionate follower of Jesus Christ. I have to give a shout out to the ladies. Mark chapter 15, verse 40. Jesus is on the cross. He's suffering on the cross. And as he is suffering on the cross, here it is. There were also women looking on from a distance, among whom were Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James the younger, and of Joseph and Salome. Your translation may say there were many women looking on from a distance. Two of them are named Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James. Also, we know her as Mary, the mother of Jesus. And here's just an interesting bit of trivia. Here you get the names of two of Jesus' half-siblings. Three, James, Joseph, and Salome. These women were willing to stand near the cross in an act of loyalty, standing with Jesus as he suffered on the cross. They were not ashamed to be associated with him in that moment of his crucifixion. Last person I want to talk about tonight. We're going to rewind and go back up to verse 39. And when the centurion who stood facing him saw that in this way he breathed his last. Jesus is breathing the last breath. The centurion, who would be a person of higher rank in the military, he said, truly, this man was the Son of God. Truly, this man was the Son of God. So the centurion likely had responsibilities to help carry out the execution of Jesus. But in this moment, as Jesus is breathing his last breath, He says, this is the Son of God. Jesus is the Son of God. And some of you, your testimony is that there was a moment where you experienced Jesus Christ in a way that was undeniable. Maybe you experienced something miraculous. Maybe you experienced something and you would say there's no possible way that that could just happen under the power of man. And in that moment, you have the choice to decide, will this be the catalyst towards me serving Jesus Christ for the rest of my life? Or will we forget that moment a few days later? And many of us would say that we have seen people in our lives experience the miraculous, mighty power of God, the mighty power of the name of Jesus Christ. They've experienced God in an undeniable way, and maybe this is you, but then how quickly you forget. How quickly you forget. And instead of that being the thing that moves you to a lifelong relationship with Jesus Christ, instead you forget and you walk away. And we don't know how the centurion responded. We do know that in that moment, as he sees Jesus breathing his last breath, he says, this man is the Son of God. What we don't know is, was that a catalyst for a lifelong loyalty towards Jesus, or was that forgotten just a few days later? God is loyal to us. Romans chapter 5, verse 8, this is the Apostle Paul writing to the church in Rome. He says, God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. God shows his love for us, his loyalty for us, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Now, if you've ever had a lapse in loyalty, and I think all of us, if we're honest, tonight we would say that we've had a moment in our life when we've lapsed in our loyalty to Jesus. The good news is that Jesus came and he embodied forgiveness and mercy and grace. And while Peter denied Jesus three times before the rooster crowed, we know that that's not the end of Peter's story. We know that Peter was restored and Peter delivered the first sermon of the early church after the Holy Spirit fell, and that he would be propelled on to be a leader in the early church. Peter was restored. So those who are in this room tonight who might be feeling guilt or a heaviness for a lapse in loyalty to your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the good news is that we serve a heavenly Father who restores and rebuilds and wants to restore you and rebuild you from whatever lapse of loyalty you might have experienced. Even those closest with Jesus struggled in pressure moments with loyalty. So what can we do? What can we learn from what has happened in our past and from this account in the Bible? We can pre-decide to drop any contingency from our relationship with Jesus, that there would be no clause in the contract that would cause us to abandon our loyalty. Reasons that people walk away from their relationship with Jesus: their career falls apart. They receive a terrible medical diagnosis. Someone says something or they read something that challenges their faith and they don't have the answer right away. It could be because there was a bad church experience in the past where someone who was supposed to be a spiritual leader took advantage of that position. Maybe it's that you find something in the Bible that conflicts with your politics, and so you think that it's easier just to walk away from Jesus than to step aside from your politics. It could be there is a moment when standing with Jesus puts us at odds with our family and our friends, so it's easier to just stick with our friends and our family than to stand up and be loyal to Jesus Christ. If any of that becomes true, we never would say it this way, but it's essentially, this is what our actions are saying. I will follow Jesus unless my career falls apart. I will follow Jesus as long as I don't receive a terrible medical diagnosis. I will follow Jesus as long as someone doesn't bring an argument against Christianity that I can't answer. I will follow Jesus as long as I don't have a bad church experience. I will follow Jesus as long as God's word doesn't conflict with my politics. I will follow Jesus as long as my faith doesn't cause interference with my friends or family or my dating relationship. Let's be people who put a period at the end of the statement, I will follow Jesus. Period. As we wrap up, here's what we know about loyalty. As we've been talking about this, I believe that many of us are thinking about moments in our life when we experienced a hardship, when we experienced difficulty, when things were not easy, and like we said earlier, possibly even extremely embarrassing for you. And maybe there was someone who you thought would be loyal to you through that was nowhere to be found. And maybe there's someone else who you would not have anticipated it. But when no one else was there for you, they were loyal. When your phone went silent, when no one else was texting, they texted you. They came by. They weren't ashamed to be seen with you. They stood with you. They listened to you. And you would say, looking back, that you never would have chosen voluntarily that situation that caused the hardship or the difficulty. However, you would say that as a result of it, you experienced a level of friendship or connection with another person that you would not have known had you not gone through that. And you would say that because you went through that, your friendship is all the more deeper on the other end. You cherish it so much more because they walked through the storm with you. Or maybe you were the other person. And you would say you're the one who walked alongside someone who was going through the storm. And you would say the same thing, that because you walked alongside someone when no one else wanted to walk with them, that your friendship with them went to such a deeper level that it never would have reached had that, whatever it was, not happened. And the same thing is true for our relationship with Jesus Christ. When that pressure point comes, those of you who have decided to remain loyal, to stand with Jesus during that season of difficulty, maybe others would have gone through the same thing, and that would have caused them to walk away from Jesus, but you stood with Jesus through the thick and the thin. And you would say tonight, because of that, you understand your Savior in a way that you would not understand had you not gone through that trial. And you never would have chosen that trial, but you would say, looking back, you are now thankful for it because you understand God in such a deeper way that you never would have grasped had that trial not crossed your path. I will praise you in the storm. I will praise you in the storm. Father in heaven, I will follow you. I will follow Jesus, period. No contingency, no escape clause. Let me pray for you. Father in heaven, we come to you in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, for sending your Son who embodies loyalty, who is loyalty. And we say thank you, Father, for being loyal to us. Thank you for being a God, our God, who will not leave us, will not forsake us, will not abandon us. And Father, we stand here tonight with hearts full of gratitude for all the times that you have stood with us, even when we have not stood with you. Father, I pray that we would be a community fully alive in the Spirit, unwavering in our loyalty, that nothing would cause us to step off of the rock that is the name of Jesus Christ. Father, I'm thankful for the many testimonies in this room of people who have experienced your loyalty in a way that is incredible, and they would say that because they have been loyal to you through the thick and through the thin, through the good times and the bad times, for richer or poor, for sicker in sickness and in health, they would say, Father, that Your name is the name that is lifted up because there, without it, there is no other way they would have made it through. Father, it's in our hearts to be loyal. It's in our hearts to be loyal. And Father, I pray that as we go from this place, that each and every situation that crosses our path, that we would demonstrate by our actions, by our words, and by our thoughts, that we are all in for you, that we are absolutely loyal to who you are because of what you first did for us. I pray a blessing over each one, your favor upon their lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Thank you so much for being here this week. It's even better when we get to see you in person. Life is best lived in community. Join us on a Wednesday evening at Oak Creek Assembly of God for worship, prayer, and Bible study. We brew fresh coffee and bake cookies every week. It's like our biggest small group. And also, hey, thanks so much for subscribing, and thank you for sharing this podcast. If you have not subscribed, we invite you to do that right now. Your ratings and reviews are appreciated, highly valued, and it means so much to us. Oak Creek Assembly of God, we are a church that exists to reach our world for Christ as we lead people just like you to discover and become who God created you to be. Drop a note in my inbox. Let me know how I can serve you, how we can pray for you, or just to tell me where you're listening. Email address is tmurray, T-M-U-R-R-A-Y, tmurray at oakcreekag.org.